This is RSBNB Update, episode 389, recorded Friday, November 30th, 2012. The Brink. You can probably guess what we're going to be talking about this week, but first, who's here with me this week?
Me!
As always. So, this week was another Double Quest remake week, and for once I felt that doing these quests was not an annoying chore like the other remakes have been.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's funny, isn't it? Because you skipped out on the quest and didn't even do it.
I didn't say I didn't do it.
Okay, whatever you say, man. So, the quest that came out this week that we're going to talk about is the Ariane Rune Mysteries and Rune Memories quests. We'll get to that just shortly, but we also this week got... lots of community stuff featuring the start of December. And, of course, at the end of the show, we will unveil our Evolution of Combat Action Bar contest winner. So not to encourage you guys to skip to the end or anything, but it's going to be a good show. So
hopefully.
Yes, I hope so. I just double-checked to make sure I actually started recording, and I did. So we don't have any issues like that so far. So first things first. This week brought, of course, as Jagex called it, the Ariane Quest double bill, and she is the signature hero dealing with the Wizard's Tower and the whole magic thing. Now, this, of course, resulted in a graphics upgrade to the Wizard's Tower, and that forced the removal of Tutorial Island. And some people were, of course, upset about that. So how do you feel about that?
Well, you know what? I think they're just going to remake all the free-to-play quests anyway. So just taking it slow.
Okay. But the new Wizard's Tower looks nice. The area is nice.
It actually looks like a
true Wizard's Tower if you look at the painting that they have in the... in the news post, which can be found at update.rsbnb.com.
Yeah. They just need more floating books.
There's floating lights inside and floating bookshelves.
Ah, yeah, floating book. No.
That comes from Harry Potter, right?
Sure, if you want.
Okay. So aside from the graphic area, this area is, of course, up to par with everything else, and it looks really good, too. So really not much to say there. Head on over and check it out. If you're mourning the loss of Tutorial Island, maybe you'll be able to find it somewhere else in the future, I think they said at some point. But it's really not that big of a deal, because you can only go there once.
Pity.
Mm-hmm. So do you remember doing Rune Mysteries when the runecrafting skill first came out?
Yeah, you got a talisman and you basically used that compass to get to Volador, where it was located at the time.
Exactly. They changed it up a bit. Rune Mysteries has nothing really to do with runecrafting anymore. They're definitely pushing the idea that runecrafting with... Runespan is a way that you can train your runecrafting, and it's not necessarily the same way of doing classic runecraft training, because there's only a couple of mentions of classical runecrafting and how everything came together. The main thread of this quest was Ariane and herself and this thing that's happening at the Wizard's Tower, specifically the creatures that are coming up through the central beam. So that's what starts in the Rune Mysteries quest, and then that spawns a whole storyline of how that quest develops, and then later on how you get to Rune Memories.
Fun.
So, did you have something to say?
No, not right now.
Oh, okay. I just thought maybe you did because I heard a bit of a pause there. Also, the whole point of this is that you get a bit of a background on the first Wizard's Tower. The Wizard's Tower, which was destroyed by fire, and then the current one built in its place. So I think they said something like 100 years previously, if I remember correctly. So it's very interesting in that it's one of those quests that goes back and provides history on how we got to where we are right now in game, kind of the same way that Making History and Meeting History did way back when.
I'm actually curious with the new Wizard's Tower if they beef up security.
Well, the thing is that it doesn't seem like it, because the wizards who are there right now had no idea what caused the fire that destroyed the old tower. So they're not fully briefed yet at the start of this quest about what happened. And, you know, there's still going to be deniers and whatnot all the way through. So,
well, I was going toward the more of the wise old man, see what he's planning to do, try to get inside again. And
yeah, there was mention of that. And how
thingamawatt is going to be popping up sooner or later.
And, you know, that did appear in the quest, and that's what the guy called them. And everyone thought he was crazy. He called them thingamawatts.
So they finally show the face?
Of what?
The thingamawatt?
No. Those were the little creatures that appeared that you had to deal with. But later on, we realized that those are not actual creatures. So.
Ooh.
I'm sorry about that. So, essentially, I'm not going to go through the entire story of this, but you discover what's going on, and then you have to find the key to the dungeon underneath where the oldest Wizard's Tower was, because the basement of the Wizard's Tower was preserved. It was only the stuff on top that was destroyed. So you can still get to the old Wizard's Tower, and that's what you need to find the key for. And then this, you realize what the whole beam is and what these things that are coming up actually are once you get down there. So it's very interesting, and it looks great heading into the depths of the Wizard's Tower, and you have to knock down a statue to, because there's a part of the stairway that's fallen in, so you have to step over a statue. So yeah, it was pretty nice.
How was the voice acting?
Voice acting was good. I don't think it's not as voice worthy as some of the other quests in the past have been. It's just there to be there, and if you didn't have voice on, you wouldn't have missed anything, in my view.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see. So how's enjoy the rewards?
Well, the rewards for this one were a basic little quest, and so for us, really, there's no major reward to this, like 250 magic and 250 runecrafting experience. The first tower set of armor, or the first tower hat, rather, and then later on the rest of the armor for the second quest. But you do get four new titles, either the blue, the red, the green, the gray, based on what kind of wizard you are after you take this entrance exam from the Rune Guardian. I came out as a blue wizard. So my title right now in game says Shane12088 the blue. Which, you know, really, has a bit of connotation to it, because if you're the blue, it means you're sad. If you're the green, that means you're inexperienced. If you're the red, that means you're commie. If you're commie? Gray, yeah. If you're red, you know?
God.
And if you're gray, what does the gray mean when you tack that onto someone?
Old and wise, gray hair.
Okay. So, I mean, you take your pick which one you want to be, right? So, maybe the gray is the best. But speaking of that, that comes from things that also appeared in this, and that there are four orders of wizards that were at the old tower that put together the spell book. Of course, the red is the Zamorak wizards. They came up with all of the, combat spells that are in the spell book. The gray, I believe, were the atheists and followers of minor gods. Now, I'm trying to remember which spells they came up with, but that's escaping me right now. But suffice to say, each one of them came up with their own types of spells for that spell book.
Alrighty.
So, essentially, you end up at the end of this quest underground, and you need to figure out what's going on later on, and you can do a whole bunch more exploring. So that's Rune Memories, and, you know, it doesn't introduce the runecrafting skill. It's not that pronounced. The main thing that appears is the fact that you're dealing with magic itself and the runes that are used to cast magic. So it's not as runecrafting-centric as it used to be. It's more of a good introduction now to magic and runecrafting. And as a result, I feel that the quest was more complete and it provided more history and backstory, which is something that I like with these quests. I like these ones that are full on the history of the game like this. So definitely so far, this is my favorite remake.
All right.
So then we move on to Rune Memories, which is the next one in the that was released. So Rune Memories had the requirement, of course, Rune Mysteries and nothing really else. So it's another simple quest. It's the members version. And that one, that's the one where things get interesting, because the term Rune Memories is you're actually trying to figure out what happened with the tower. As quoted by the official description from the RuneScape website, at the end of Rune Mysteries, Ariane found herself in a bit of a bind, and now she needs your help once more. You'll fully explore the arcane runes beneath the Wizard's Tower and experience, through the memories of its former inhabitants, the clashes of magical ideals that led to the old tower's downfall. Dig deep enough and put together the pieces of this ancient puzzle, and you have all you need to free Ariane and avert disaster once more. Now, the reason that this is mentioned is because, for some reason, Ariane decides to go in a little beam, and she gets stuck in it. So part of this is actually releasing her from the beam of energy, which takes the place of the stairs in the Wizard's Tower.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason it's called Rune Memory is because you use runes, and you use that to evoke the memories because they're special runes. And then you discover that the little wisps of energy that were invading the tower in the first quest are actually the spirits of a bunch of old wizards from the Wizard's Tower, the first Wizard Tower. So you can pull those into the runes. Then you can use those to generate the memories that you need to find out what happened with the old Wizard's Tower, and how teleportation came about. Because there was a whole point in this quest which talked about solving the problem, quote, the teleportation problem, which basically was that we know how to move things from point A to point B, but we don't know how to move things if there's obstacles. So the whole teleportation problem was finding out how to pass something through the abyss in order to teleport to a point. And then, you know, yeah. So that was interesting because we got to see how teleportation was discovered in there. Also, another interesting thing with this one is that when you meet with these, you discover that there was a plot, and what they were doing to create the vortex and the ritual was used actually a bit of demonic energy, which was actually what destroyed the original Wizard's Tower. Oops, little spoiler there. But basically, their ritual went wrong and that destroyed the Wizard's Tower. So you end up learning about all this stuff that led to the downfall of the Wizard's Tower and what early times were like back then. So it was very nice.
Okay.
And then at the end, you need to stop this Wizard's Tower from being destroyed because the spell gets away on you because the energy goes up into the beam, and you just need to make sure that the Wizard's Tower isn't destroyed. So.
Okay, so, well, yeah, do the quest. Hope you guys had fun with it. And you get to learn some history about the game.
Yeah. And the second one is a good one to do. Not really for the rewards that you get, because it's only another 300 runecrafting and magic XP, but you also get a chest containing rune essence. Mm. I'm level 90 runecrafting, and I got 21k rune essence.
Nice.
And each time you level up, more rune essence is placed in that chest. So it's essentially a free 2 mil for me because of the price of the rune essence these days. So that's nice. Oh, and it's pure essence too.
Okay, sweet.
Yeah, and there's one more thing. You can go talk to the Lesser Demon after the quest if you have 50 prayer, 50 magic. And depending on your answer to him, you'll either get 10,000 magic XP or 10,000 prayer XP.
Which one did you choose?
I chose prayer. And that makes sense because prayer is the more expensive one to train, right?
Mm-hmm. Especially now with all the abilities and whatnot.
Yeah. So, if anybody remembers what the different orders meant, because only one I remember is the Red Wizards created the combat spells. I'd like to commit that to memory, but it's just escaping me right now.
Okay, so let's move on to the next one, shall we? The little tweaks and fixes.
Really not that much this week. As we mentioned, Tutorial Island's been removed. Solomon's now has hero packs styled after either Ariane or Ozan.
Ozan!
Yeah. And there's also a new lore, the Burning Tower, Ariane's Tale, if you guys want to read that.
Let's see. Galcors have been tweaked, or now they hit a little bit harder. Dungeoneering NPCs and skill doors can hit players harder now too. So keep that in mind.
Hopefully they don't kill the player.
Well, NPCs still hit you hard enough, they will. Skill doors usually don't kill you, but never know. All the NPCs in Temple Trek are now as powerful as they should be post-evolution of combat. Creating a Fletching Potion 3 will not give the correct XP. I don't know how many people have made that anyway. Dungeoning Vows have now simply fill all instead of asking you how many you want to fill, which is pretty good. Pretty good.
Yep.
And anything else that jumps out at me?
Nope. I don't believe so. Did we get the one about
which one? Do which one?
Never mind. I'm good. I'm good.
Okay. And let's see. Anything else? Oh,
nope.
Amulet of Cat Speak now works properly to locate
Bob.
Oh,
yes. That's the one I was going to mention. Yeah, I forgot. But
how could you?
I wonder how
one?
Long that was off for.
Probably a week.
All right. So next up, Festivora for all members. What do you think of this?
I'm looking forward to a couple of weeks from now.
Yeah, 30 minutes a day of double XP or 50% XP boost. So you get 150% XP. Could you imagine what you can do in 30 minutes with that?
I can imagine 30 minutes with that. I can imagine a lot of things.
Yeah. So, I mean, imagine you could do one farming run in 30 minutes a day with that. So there's no reason not to be doing that with this. It's just too bad it'll expire after the holidays. But I guess we can see why. Because it's a little bit too overpowered.
I'm looking forward to Dungeoneering XP. Well, Dungeon XP, that's all I care
right.
about.
But you're not able to bring the aura in, are you?
You know what? The pendants and all that, I'm going to use them all up.
Sorry, what was that?
I got a Dungeoneering pendant. I'm going to use it all up. And I'm hoping I get one of those Dungeoneering dailies, too. That would be
But
nice
how do you use a Dungeoneering pendant? You have to wear the thing.
You can wear it in.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. That's interesting they allow that.
They allow that thing in, and that's pretty much it.
What about auras?
Nope, no auras.
Oh, that's too bad. Okay, so if you're a member, go claim that.
Mm-hmm.
Also, every weekend in December is a winter weekend. So there's going to be a hearty bonus. This weekend is double drops on bosses, 5 weekends total, with member bonuses including double Dungeoneering XP, double minigame rewards, and a bunch of other things that are going to be on the way.
That's Soul
What
Wars
are you hoping
for? I would like to go down to Nax and actually use my darts on her.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Well,
I took out my 3 darts.
The weekend to do that would be this weekend because it's the double drop weekend.
Yeah, so I should go down there, but I've never been down there, so maybe you, Mike, and
whatever. Yeah, I'll come with you.
Hey!
But I'm not blessing your grave if you die.
Well, I have instant darts. I'm just going to toss it and go.
Toss and go. Toss and go.
Uh-huh. And, yeah, I'll remember that you bring a teleport. And, like, the last couple of times I went down to kill a samurai boss, like, oh, shoot.
I wonder. You know, I bet one of these things will be double stealing creation tokens, double castle wars, double soul wars, so a double minigames weekend. Double Dungeoneering XP, they said. This one's double boss XP, or double boss drops, so I wonder what the fourth one will be.
Christmas special.
Maybe. Maybe. Maybe they'll drop.
You know what, Shane?
Different
I think
kind
they
of party
stop.
Hat.
I think they should stop doing double weekends. They need to start doing triple weekends.
No, definitely not.
Dana, we appreciate that one.
You know, the way I feel about these double weekends and whatnot is that as long as we don't know they're coming and they're only announced a day or two before, that's perfectly fine in my view. And that's the way things should be.
Well, look at it this way, Shane. In about 3 weeks, the world's going to end.
I guess that's the reason why there's only 3 then.
World's going to end on the 21st. So, you know, if I'm seeing signs of the apocalypse on Thursday, you know what I'm going to do.
All right. So, moving on from that. This weekend is Double Drops, so that's already running by the time you're hearing this. So we'll definitely have to head down to Nex and see what we can get. Yes. Might also do some Glacerors this weekend. See if I can get some boots or something.
That's boots. That's good.
Yep. Now, this is interesting. Thanks a million. So, in-game, the Book of Faces, you're going to be able to claim when you hit, or when they hit 1 million Facebook likes.
Well, it's not getting any likes from me.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's nice to see this, but it looks fairly comical.
I think that's the idea. You can't take anyone seriously if you're getting a million likes. Facebook, after all.
And it's a Book of Faces. So,
well, it's a Facebook, so what you...
I know. And is that something that we're saying based on... based on what Facebook is?
A social media network where you can post the most absurd thing on there and get more likes than a really thought out article.
Yeah, and that's the unfortunate thing, and I guess that's why RuneScape's up to 1 million likes.
That's okay.
I don't know. Book of Faces looks like a costume event type thing you'll wear. But that's okay, I guess.
Okay.
Mystical Spins weekend. So that means that Lambs for Magic, Herblore, and Summoning will give you triple XP. So there's your triple that you were talking about.
There's so little, and knowing my luck, I just get 1,000 gold.
Yeah, but still, Herblore and Summoning are expensive skills to train, so it's good to have triple. Imagine getting a huge Herblore lamp. Yeah, not likely, but it'd be
nice.
Well,
imagine getting 200 mil.
Yeah, that'd be better. That'd be better.
Wouldn't have to worry about money for a while.
All right, so make sure you do your free squeal spins this weekend and have fun with that. Last thing this week for RS updates is Behind the Scenes Video 29, a preview of The Brink of Extinction, which is the latest Tazara quest. And that's funny, we're in December, or we will be in December next week, and The Brink of Extinction is coming out, and this is supposed to be the last month that we're all supposed to be alive.
Hoo-hoo.
I wonder if the name was planned based on that, or if it's just a different coincidence.
Well, we'll see when the quest comes out, and if it has something to do with the 12 or 21 or ancient taboo thing. Well, I'm pretty sure it would be. Like, the calendar said the world's gonna end.
All right. So have a look at this video. It's a Grandmaster quest. Levels of 80 mining, smithing, and defense will be required. So if you're a little bit off those, and you're wanting to do this quest next week, use this time to level up those skills.
Wow, I just got 81 smithing too. That's funny.
Good for you. Good for you.
But as I remember, they're trying to do this, get people to really use the action bar more and actually practice combos and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So and, I don't know, I think you know, for our site, it's going to be good for people to really try things out and post what they think is going to work or not work.
Yeah, and we'll get to that later with the action bar contest winner. So stay tuned for that. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what amount of in this quest is combat and what amount is puzzles, because they said Grandmaster doesn't exactly have to be hard in terms of combat. It just needs to sum up the storyline, and that's what they're doing here. They're finishing off the Tazara storyline. And you know what we say? Every storyline they finish up brings us one step closer to finishing up the Elf storyline.
That won't be happening anytime soon. Probably be another 2 years before they even like, you know, I think we should start finishing it up now. Oh, okay. Yeah, you work on it. Tell us when you're done. Just me? Yep.
Alrighty, so we're gonna move on to questions right now. We got one audio question this week from Marabska, so I'll play that right now for us.
Hi, host. Once again, Boromski. Just a quick comment on EAC. I agree. More than 5 action bars would be better, as I've already filled up my slots without too much tinkering in combat. Okay, question. It's the end of the world soon, as they say. What regrets do you have in life if we're all gonna die? Also, Christmas is around the corner. What's gonna be the feature dish on the table? And what present would you like to receive? Mine is nothing. For the past 10 years, it's nothing but disappointment. Thanks again, Rumska.
Ah, so since we're on the brink of extinction, what's our biggest regret?
Okay, website wise or real life wise?
Both.
RS. Okay. Okay, let's see. I don't know. I don't have that much regret over what I've done. Okay, keep it site wise, I guess, not kicking people out of the forum sooner. And you know, we've had our fair share.
Okay. That's it?
What do you want me to say, man? What don't you think? What do you regret meeting me or something?
No.
What about Brad?
That depends which one you're talking about there, good sir.
We all know who we're talking about, but I digress.
But my RSB regret, I'm not able to tell you guys, unfortunately, because that just would not be fair to the subject it involves. So that's gonna have to stay with me for a while. Regrets, real life wise, not really. Like you, I don't have many regrets because you just have to keep going forward and working with the path that you're on based on the decisions you've made. So, I mean, there hasn't really been anything that substantial that I don't regret doing. So, I'm happy with that.
I regret telling the truth.
Oh, about what?
Oh, job interview a while back.
Oh, right. Right,
Told the
right.
truth and didn't work out. I was like, oh shit.
And didn't
Oops.
I tell you not to tell the truth?
But don't, well, you've always said I'll be honest and all that junk. Besides, you
Well,
know,
yeah, for
besides,
when
I'm pretty sure they
situations
would.
allow, yes.
And I'm pretty sure they would have found out one way or another after checking my record or whatnot. You know,
Right, because that
background
is like
history.
a federal thing, isn't it?
Oh well, I'll lie later.
All right, so the feature dish, or feature fish, as you heard it.
Hey, you heard it too, not just me. What's your
Okay,
feature dish
so what's it
name?
gonna be? You first.
A giant pot of water that we put all our food in.
Really?
You didn't see my sandbox post, did you? About for wishing everyone happy
No, I don't go
Thanksgiving.
in the sandbox.
It's an Asian thing. And a
Okay.
Cliff dude will testify to that and we But yeah, that's basically it. Oh my God, it's gone. Oh well.
Must have got pruned.
That's your fault. You're the one that put that there.
The feature dish that we always do here at Christmas is the turkey. Very traditional, very not that surprising. So that's what we've always done and will. So that's what it's going to be this year.
Okie dokie. So nothing's no special dish or anything?
No, just the usual turkey and stuff. So what present would you like to get?
Honestly, you know what? I'm pretty content with what I have.
So same here, really. Same here. Anything specific, right?
Nothing specific. I mean, if someone wants to give me an iPad, I'm all for it. But or the Google Nexus or something, I'm all for it. So, but that's not going to happen.
Okay.
So, yeah, if someone nice enough to give me a Google Nexus tablet or an iPad, I'm all for it.
What about a ship on Stow?
You're not going to give me that anytime soon, so that's fine. And anyway, any other ships, I don't really want any other ship right now. They don't fit my play style, so don't care.
Really?
Yeah, told you all this before on STO that there was just nothing there worth getting.
All right. Well, yeah, I'm pretty much in the same boat, so I'm really not too concerned with that. So I really don't have much to request.
Yeah, you can ask Mike for a gift. I'm too far away.
All right. So thank you, Maramska. And I was in chat with him this week, and I called him Masaka. And apparently you called him Masaka too once.
I did?
Yes.
I don't remember that one. Shane, are you by the ocean again?
Yeah, I am. I'm trying to figure out what are these orders are for. But trying to find out where Ariane is. I forget where I left her.
I don't know.
Oh, well. I'll do that after. Okay. So, next question. You can read it.
Oh, joy. All right. This question is from Veteran. Question one is for Shane. Since I don't have the concentration span in order to get 99 agility in one go without quitting RS with the amount of clicking and poor XP rate, what method did you use to get 99 agility, if you remember?
Yeah, that's a very good question, because agility is a hard skill. It's one of the most tedious ones that exist. I used the Gnome Advanced course. I just stayed there all the way. Once I unlocked it, I didn't bother going to Barbarian, and I found it fast enough. So I'm sure it's still fast enough, though I'm not sure if you want to train agility at this point, because I know they said in one of the Q&As that they were looking at it. Changing the way agility works sometime in 2013. So chances are they'll make it easier to train by then.
And what was the other thing? Yeah, when I was training agility during one of the first double XP weekends, I didn't have enough summoning stuff anyway to do it, so I just stayed with agility because I wanted to get it up. I literally had the entire Andromeda series, and I just watched every single one during the entire weekend. Well, most of it.
Yeah, that's an option, watching TV shows and whatnot.
Yes.
To make it go faster. Another thing that I liked for agility especially was racing someone, because if you're racing someone, they'll be going ahead and they'll want to keep ahead of you, and you'll want to keep ahead of them. So it makes sense that the race will keep going. You won't get bored and do other things. So I definitely recommend doing that as well. But just make sure you're racing with someone that you like enough that you won't want to kill them if you lose.
Okay. Well, question two is both of us. I ask every time there is a Steam sale, did either of you manage to snag something for yourself?
You know, I really wasn't aware of the Steam sale until it was too late, and I don't think there's anything I'm definitely looking for at this stage. I have more than enough to keep myself occupied, so no.
Well, they have right now they're having the THQ Humble Pack, which they have the entire Company of Heroes game series and Saint Row and what was the other one? Darksider, I think.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
There's one more in there, I believe, but you know, yeah, it's for charity, so put on what you want. It's all good.
And for $5, Saints Row is a pretty good game, but you should probably give more than $5 because, just because you get stuff for free doesn't mean you should take it for free. You should put an actual value on it based on what you think it is. So.
Well, you know, right as of right now, the average donation has been around $550 or so. The highest donation, let me just double check. Yesterday it was $1,000 plus.
Oh my gosh!
Oops, wrong one.
I don't know who it's been that much.
Well, I think they're just doing it for charity. I mean, so yeah, right now, average purchase around $570. Top contributors give around $1,000 for them. So, top 8 people did. A couple people paid like $600 plus. When a couple of them are companies. Wow.
Yeah,
companies. So.
And you know, I guess that's okay because it goes to the game developers. So.
Mm-hmm. And to charity, yay charity! And you got 12 days from the time of recording. Red Faction, that's the one I was missing. Red Faction and Metro 2033. Yeah, cool.
All right. Thank you, Veteran, for those questions. I'm sorry I wasn't able to provide a better answer onto what game I'm looking for, but.
Well, I know Mike told me he got Sins of a Solar Empire, and I was walking him through some of the things he should try and do.
Oh, okay.
He seems to be enjoying the game. It's a very long RTS. So, all right, Shane, you want to go on the next question?
Yep. Next one's from 99 Aegis. My most recent RuneScape goal has been to get Full Void. From my previous questions, you know that I love to do barrows. With the introduction of EOC, taking 3 sets of gear seems to be the best method for clearing barrows quickly. And what better for better armor for hybriding than Void? This is my concern. Void armor has been severely nerfed in the last update. It was used when you needed pure damage at the cost of defense. Now that the small defense bonus has been reduced by a lot. What do you think this means for the armor set? With 50% protection prayers and much lower defense rating, you'll get ripped apart. Your DPS even drops because you have to eat so much food. Should I consider using something else for barrows? You know, I'm going to have to say yes to that question. Because as you point out here, the Void Knight stuff really isn't that powerful by the defensive standpoints. Yes, it's nice all-around armor like that. But, you know, with such low values, you're better off bringing in specific sets. So since the majority of them are melee-based, what I like to do is I like to primarily bring my RM set in and use a Staff of Light for all the melee brothers.
Mm.
And then I'm able to heal myself with abilities and whatnot. The 50% prayer bleed-through is not a big deal. It works just fine for that. The only ones that really cause problems are Darok and Varak. Because, of course, there's no point in praying against Varak because his thing can hit through prayer. So, essentially, just follow the combat triangle on this. That's what I found the best option to do. So that means, of course, bringing magic and ranged primarily, and a melee weapon to force a prayer switch on a Crise, if need be. So this... The general tactic for the 4 melee ones is to just mage them using whatever spell you want, or if you want to get more technical, use the spell they're weak against. Then, of course, bring Karls and a crossbow for taking down Aram and a Crise, because you will want to force that prayer switch on a Crise. And a Crise is magic-based armor, but with a melee attack. So that means that you'll want Karls, of course, for that, and just use ranged and then force prayer switch when you need to. Then, yeah. Of course, taking down Aram, Karls works just fine. Then the only sticking point becomes when it's time to take down Aram, because that's mage. And, you know, fighting against the same type that works is not that effective, but it's more effective than using ranged against Aram. So.
And, you know, one other little thing is, don't forget, there are hybrid armor in the game. It's just really hard to get it. You just have to do all the mini games and try. Hopefully you get it at the end of one of them. Was that Stewie?
No.
I swear it sounded like Stewie. Very well. Oh, I see. The first question.
I'm sorry, I'm just trying to figure out what all the different orders do.
Okay. So, let's see. So, yeah, you know, if you want, and besides, you know, mini game rewards are going to double for a couple weeks. So if you
just one weekend later on.
Yeah, well, we're assuming it's going to be like, you know, one for Castle Wars, one for this, one for that.
Yep.
One of like the big three. So, you know, try them out. Hopefully you can get the hybrid armor. Maybe they'll be more useful. You know, they have battle mage armor and everything else, and give it a try.
Yeah. I mean, it used to be nice to be able to just bring one armor set, but that doesn't really work anymore. So, I mean, we do need kind of a hybrid ranged magic set, like we have the hybrid Akrise set.
Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless, all in all, good question.
Okay.
And, you know, I think Void Armor was rebalanced partially because, well, it was the whole primarily used by peers thing, which they were trying to actually make defense and whatnot and levels of a more realistic setup. So, alrighty, next one.
You want to take it?
Yeah, no. Oh, right, there's a second part to it. No, never mind. We can move on. You can read it.
Okay, this last question is from Elysian City. Dear RSBNB, what are your advantages of having a desktop versus a laptop? And also, I'm currently at 186 combat. What's the best spot to train EOC for melee? For stay frosty, Elysian City. All right, Shane. So, advantage, disadvantage of desktop, laptop. Go.
Well, with the desktop, you don't need to worry about your power running out, for one thing. Another advantage of the desktop is if you're doing things that require high CPU usage, like video encoding. That's another reason I have a desktop. High performance gaming. Laptops can game, but of course not as good as desktops. So, I mean, primarily desktops are cheaper and they're the better way to go, providing you don't want the ability to move around. Whereas on the other hand, laptops are all about portability and being able to move and work from wherever you want. Also, the downside of the laptop, as I mentioned, is that some of the PC laptops have very crappy battery life. So that's something you need to be worried about. Also, you have to worry about breaking them because they're more fragile. You know, if you drop them, you could break a hard drive or something. So you have to be more responsible with them. Overall, I'd say it depends on your computing style. I think you use a laptop primarily on the weekends and your desktop when you're at home, right?
Mm-hmm. So usually weekends I'm all out of house.
Yeah.
So it just makes my life a little bit easier.
And your laptop is what, 2 years old?
A little more than 2 years. Let's see. When did I get this one? Three? I think three. Three or four.
And you're able to game on it with no issue. So.
Yeah. I mean, most of the issue is because, you know, I don't want to, I'm not looking for like super high end. So, you know, your game's well.
And another thing, like, you're able to play most modern games on laptops, but you're not able to crank the settings like you could on a desktop.
So so I'm perfectly fine with them being, like, on medium setting or low medium or something like that, so I don't try and do something crazy like that.
Yeah.
It's like trying to play Crysis on a crappy computer.
Yeah, I don't know. It depends largely on your style of computing.
All right. Either so, move on to the next part of his question. Where's the best place to train Melee in EOC at 186? To Slayer.
Yeah, Slayer's good. You know, there's a good way of doing it. If you have the Darok set and 85 Slayer, you can practically one-hit Abyssal Demons.
They're full of bots now.
So, there's that.
Well, if you want to go AFK training, there's always the bandits in the desert. Just put on a Sarah Doman item and just stay there for a while until you're tired. But usually that place is always packed.
Also, it's good to mention that anywhere that's multi-combat with a high concentration of NPCs, you can go there and essentially use your area of effect abilities, AoE abilities, and hit quite hard and take out numerous creatures at a time if you're willing to sit there and actually use the EOC things. So, good idea that comes in mind is Chaos Tunnels. What you would want to do, let's take the Fire Giants down there for an example. You just click on like three or four of them at the same time, and then just use your area of effect abilities for whichever combat type you're using.
Mm-hmm. And for AoE, for melee, it's usually two-handers. They are more area effect oriented. Dual wielding is more for like ganking a giant monster. Sword and shield is more for damage and melee damage and damage defense output. And
that's what I always saw the sword and shield as is trying to soak up the damage that you're getting the tanky setup. So I agree with you on the two hander.
Yeah, two-handers, most of the skills are very
Hurricane.
AoE.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that'd be the best way of doing it. Or alternatively, just find a nice medium-level monster for your level, and then, like we said, do a dual-wielding thing and just drop them really quickly.
Ooh, I don't know if you can do it, but Jadinkos were awesome. Love killing Jadinkos.
Oh, especially maybe.
I just did, you know, if I had to slayer, I had the Slayer level to do it, and I was trying it during the beta. It was so nice. I was like, oh, wow, my two-hander just cutting through thieves like nothing. It's like, Shane. Oh, my God.
Rather than providing an actual NPC, we can just say that look for things that are in a high concentration of each other and use the two-hander with the AoE abilities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was fun.
Do you have anything else on this one?
Nope.
All right.
Peace out, homie.
So, remember, questions. You'll be able to post the questions starting Monday. Head on over to the forums and find the global announcement with the questions topic for the week. And remember that if we get 5 audio questions in 1 week, we'll make the next week's show live. So if you want to hear a live show or you want to get your voice on the show, just send us an audio question.
Yes. So, haha, have fun. Me.
And I should also mention, if you want to send us an audio question, just email them to questions@rsbnb.com. Phone them into the Google Voice number, which is 571-57-BNB or 571-572-2632. And if you don't have a long distance calling plan or you're from Canada or something, I was looking at this before the show and Gmail offers free calling to the U.S. So you can just pull this up, connect your headset or whatever, and leave us a voicemail there. Or alternatively, leave us a voicemail on Skype. Just add the username RSBBUpdate and give us a call.
Whee!
All right, moving on to tech news.
So, alrighty.
The Alcubierre Drive, which is a stepping stone in the theory for NASA's own warp drive.
Faster than light, no left or right.
Yep, that's right. Oh my god, that rhymes.
Yeah, that was the whole point why I said it. Jeez, you don't remember Voyager anymore, do you?
Oh, I do. I do. But I said, that's right. And then it rhymed with light. All right. So essentially, it's widely accepted that in order to get a ship or space vehicle to travel faster than the speed of light, you can't do that because of Einstein's law of relativity. So instead, what you need to do is warp the space in front of you and behind you so it contracts and expands, and that will push the ship through space at what appears to be faster than light speed, even when the ship is remaining at a standstill. So the whole point of this is that the theory is sound in the way it works, but the problem is, how do you get enough energy to warp space?
Create your own black hole.
Yeah, well, that'd be another thing that would require a huge amount of energy as well. But there's been a new theory released that says, you know, maybe we don't need all sorts of energy that can do this. Maybe we can do it with a smaller amount of energy than was originally thought possible. So essentially what it does, quoting from the study here, if you make the thickness of the negative vacuum ring larger, it's like shifting from a belt to a donut shape. Imagine that would be the ring around the ship, and then oscillate the warp bubble. That reduces the energy required. So that takes it from the realm of impossible to plausible. And they said they're going to start working on theories with this, starting with a atom or two, trying to move an atom through space using this method. You got to start somewhere.
Yeah. Hey, an atom is an atom.
Yep. And you know, the funny thing is that if there was an actual thing designed like this, it would actually look indeed like the Star Trek Vulcan Dakir starship.
Well, if we ever do travel in space, first thing I have to try to figure out is how to create artificial gravity.
Yeah, you'd need that.
First thing I would do is make the ship times two. Times two gravity. Oh, you either work with it or you're screwed.
Yeah. So, talking about the speeds this would be dealing with, you would be able to essentially move from Earth to Alpha Centauri in a matter of weeks rather than huge amounts of time that it would take a conventional spacecraft to get there. So that's that?
Yeah.
Have anything else on that?
Live long and prosper.
All right. That's good. All right. So the Xbox 720 is supposedly going to debut for the 2013 holiday season. And it'll probably be called something else other than the 720, but that's just what we're going to call it for the meantime.
Maybe you could call it the Y-Box.
The Y-Box.
Yeah, after X, Y, so Y-Box.
Mm. Okay.
I mean, you know. Want to play the Y?
It's just Xbox is so branded with the with Microsoft. So I have a feeling it'll be just called Xbox something, not necessarily 720, because that really doesn't make sense in terms of that. That's just what people have started calling it.
Xbox 480.
Ah, that's great. But it's widely expected that the Xbox 720 will come with Kinect 2.0, Blu-ray drive, a better controller, and an AV port for watching and recording broadcast TV.
Ooh. Will be interesting.
That's interesting if they can pull that off, the AV port for watching broadcast TV, because then they essentially make it so that people can just plug their TV signal or whatever, something into their Xbox, or even just a video signal, say, and then use the Xbox as their main media center, and then the Xbox is always on. Which would be very interesting for Microsoft, because Microsoft has not had a leading product in the whole TV area. Granted, Xbox is heading there, but it started out as a gaming platform. So it'll be interesting to see if Microsoft can beat Apple to the punch, because Apple's widely been expected to want to do something like this as well, but haven't been able to execute on it. So,
oh, well.
Definitely going to be an interesting year.
Yeah, so, you know, wonder what the Wii U is already out, so it's basically going to be them versus the, well, I guess, PS4. See what happens with that one, if it comes out at all.
Yeah, you know, I just feel that console gaming has no relevance anymore. Granted, it's relevant in terms that people play the games, but the hardware just doesn't move fast enough to take advantage of all the good things that come with it.
Oh, well, what can you do? Unless you're going to try, and make Xboxes more, I don't know, interchangeable. Oh, new graphic card comes out, swap it in.
Yeah, Xbox, I doubt that.
Something.
Because the Xbox has to cater to all the little teenagers and stuff who don't know how to put together a computer.
I didn't know how to put together a computer until I actually started tinkering with it.
Exactly. And that's why the Xbox is so popular.
Because it's just put in and go.
Yep. And that's the problem.
Oh.
Anyways. It's also worth noting that during Black Friday, Xbox 360 sales reached 750,000 units.
That's good, right?
Yeah. Because Xbox sales have been on the decline recently.
I think everybody was just assuming that 720 would be out this year. I think that's what we were all kind of hoping. You know, it's been Nintendo announced it a while ago. You expected Xbox and Sony to kind of jump onto the bandwagon. But what I think is, I don't know, I think like with the next Xbox, they're probably going to add in Kinect with it somehow. Maybe they make it part of the default out of the box thing.
Maybe, though I don't know how easy that'd be to do.
Oh, well, you know, you still have to buy the sensor thing. You put a sensor, I guess, or something. It just makes it easier. I don't know. Just a thought.
Yeah, well, let's just hope that consoles will continue to lag behind the PC components, because there's no point in buying an Xbox 360 to play games anymore, because everything looks so much better on a computer. And considering it's been 6 years now since the Xbox came out, that's just too long of a lifespan in my view.
Well,
and that forces, of course, game companies to just use the same engine over and over. Just look at Call of Duty. Been using the same examples or same engine since 2007.
Well, 1 year in electronics already outdid it.
Exactly. So, All right. I'm ready to move on. Are you?
Go. Go, go.
Okay. Atari's 40th anniversary of Pong. And with this, they've released an iOS app.
It made Shane kick on like a little schoolgirl.
No, it didn't.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, so anyway, Atari, to celebrate their 40th anniversary, they're releasing an iOS app. So, let's see. So, to celebrate...
It's called Pong World.
To celebrate the game anniversary, Atari on Thursday released a free iOS version of Pong called Pong World for a new generation of gamers. The app is a little more advanced than the 1972 version, with different settings and paddle upgrades. But the concept is the same. Atari chose indie game designer Z Game as the winner in its Pong app contest a while back.
That's nice of them.
Yeah. And do you ever play Pong as a kid?
Yeah. I built my own Pong. I built it using Java. So.
Yeah, so if you have Apple's phone, go for it. It's free. Hey.
Yep.
So yeah, and it's just for them to celebrate 40 years of video gaming. It's interesting, isn't it? 40 years ago, we had something like this with a joystick. Now we have massive games that can do, you know, amazing things with crazy graphics and everything else.
Yep. And rightly so, because Pong was one of the first games that ever came out, and it was a huge programming task to create a game like that, and now it's a very simple game to create. So definitely worth creating a upgraded version of it just to show where the game's been in and where it can go now. So head over to the link to in the story to grab that. update.rsmb.com.
Okay, so let's move on to the next one. Next thing on our list.
Which is the skill of the month? It's prayer. Currently we're almost done. The same as last week.
Oh, yeah, well, it's done by tonight, so...
Yeah, so it's looking like Minor Goo will have won with roughly 7.4 million XP. Second place, Pernassi with 4.5, and Flash with 1.7.
Yeah, and everyone gained a little bit of prayer, except for Duke.
That's unfortunate. We should get him to bury a bone.
Yeah, well, by the time he hears it, it's too late anyway.
Yeah,
tonight's the last day. True. So let's...
Yeah, I'll contact him or something.
All right, so congratulations, Minor Goo. Unless Parnassius has something up his sleeve in the next couple of hours, I don't see you. I'm getting up there really quick. But anyway, so starting tomorrow, the December skill of the month is going to be construction. So let's make those houses pretty. Let's get to it. And don't forget, we got you 30 days. We're going to get a double 50% more XP. So there's a good chance for you guys to use it up.
That should be interesting.
Yeah. Well, let's see who's going to actually, who has their stuff. Yep. Who has all the materials together.
All right. What's next?
What's next? Well, as you know, we have the achievements of the week.
First up, Aizen, 99 summoning on the 28th.
Okay. How do you say his name again?
KJTH.
Okay. We got KJTH 2003. We got 99 defense, 99 constitution, 99 magic, all on the same day. So basically, you know, mating boy. So congratulations to you. And finally, we have Jason72, who got 99 fire making on November 27th. Congrats, y'all.
Woo! Good job.
Yes. What's our record for most 99s in a week?
I think it's 8.
8? Okay.
Yep. All right. I have a pick. Are you ready for this?
Do I have a choice?
No, it's a good pick. It's a good pick.
It's a nerdy one.
Let's see. Yeah, it is. Let's see. This is a good button. What the heck? Just go with this one.
Affirmative.
Hey, ow. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. So essentially what this pick is, it's a website. And on this website, it's got tons and tons of Star Trek sounds. So if you've heard it on the show, it's probably on this website.
Okay, then. And you all know Shane likes his Star Trek.
Yes.
Hey, Shane, why don't you start a self-destruct sequence?
Let's see if they got that one. Here we go.
Warning, self-destruct sequence has been initiated. Warp core overload in 4 minutes, 55 seconds. There will be no further audio warnings.
So some of them have the backgrounds from the episode in there. Some don't. So...
too loud. Ow.
Yeah, so there's lots of good sounds on here. So if you have a phone or something and you're wanting to outfit it with certain sounds, so let's say you get a text message or something and you want the communicator to chirp, you can do that. Or if you want a door swoosh, you can do that as well.
I already have that on my phone.
Yeah, we heard that last week.
Did that during Halloween, it was funny. Alrighty. So, okay, you can stop chirping now.
So yeah, that's the pick. You can find this at trekcore.com/audio. That was a door.
Yeah.
All right. So, do you want to present our contest winners?
Okay. So, as you all know, we had an EOC Action Bar contest throughout the month of November, and today is the last day. And so, we're going to be announcing the winners. So, first runner up in the player versus monster, we have Astro Villain. I chose his bar primarily because it was very dungeoneering like. Actually, it was a dungeoneering bar. We chose it because most people who want to go into dungeoneering have a two-hander of some sort, and his kind of really utilized the two-hander ability with some of the dungeoneering abilities that you would find in there. So, that's why we chose that one. Shane, you want to take the next one, or
no, you can do it.
Okay, so what'd you drop?
Oh, nothing, just a pen.
Okay, so next runner up we have Mime, who is a runner up for the skill. So you had a build that was primarily for mining gold, concentrated gold. And you had a nice setup going there with being able to kind of defend yourself and actually be mining the gold and utilizing, dropping the gold bars and superheating it and all that kind of stuff, which was very nice, very, very new. And so we have the next runner-up in the PvP category. We have Mika Meow for his chaotic hammer build. You primarily focus on trying to do as much damage as one in one go, and we found it mostly toward dueling, if anyone ever does that, with actually using armor instead of just kicking each other. So that's what most people do to make money now, just kick out your own chance. So your build was very very oriented in trying to do as much damage in a short amount of time, and having you have a little bit of way to defend yourself, but overall it just seemed more like you were just trying to do as much damage as you can. So Shane, you want to announce the winner?
Yes, and our grand prize goes to Freeznub. He put together a magic offensive build using a shield, and this is, of course, good for dungeoneering or magic in general. It also involves getting out of stuns and enough self-protection and the ability to get away from your target so they can't be slashing you or whatever at the same time. So it definitely focuses on magic in a way that would be good all around. It'd be good for dungeoneering or PVM.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, what was we kind of chose on this, too, was that you had a very good defensive setup and you had a very good offensive setup. And it's also really easy to change one or two skills around to meet your needs, and which is why we kind of chose it, because you basically, you know, back then it was just either you just did magic and that was it. You just did melee and that was it. You actually went and spent some time to try and figure out, okay, I need to choke him in order for that skill to work. And in case I'm getting in trouble, here's some defensive abilities I can use to protect myself.
Yeah.
In case, so, you know, those who might be doing barrels may use this build to, you know, tweak it a little bit to meet their needs. Those who are going into, you know, like Castle Wars or something with a lot of other people, you may choose to switch up some magic skills in order to do more AoE or do more stunning. If you're just doing random PvP, you may throw on some other skills into it to keep yourself alive. So, which is why we chose your build as the winner for EOC. And Shane, tell them what they won!
Right, well, I'm sure you guys probably all remember what you won, but if not, I'll run through it. So, the winner will be getting a prize from us at RSBNB, as well as a little extra prize donated by Jagex, which consists of the Scarecrow Mask, Green Skin, Turkey Hat, Flaming Skull, Ice Mask, Barbed Bow, and 75 Squeal of Fortune's Fins. And, of course, the runners-up that we mentioned, you guys will also be getting prizes as well from us. So please do be sure to watch your RSBNB inboxes, and we'll be getting in contact with you over the weekend to set this up.
And I have my own little cash prize. So everyone got 300K. Freeznub, you got lucky, and you got 1.1 million gold. So when you guys hear this, shoot me a PM over RS or over here. Either way is good. We'll set up a time, and congratulations to you all. If any of you are still interested in trying to see what other builds other people have made, I have included a link into the show notes. You can click on that and take a look. So again, congratulations, Freeznub, Mika Meow, Mime, and Astro Villain.
All right. So
you made people happy.
Yeah, that's good. That's always nice. Also this week, the combat calculator, by the time you're hearing this, will be updated with all the fields for EOC, so you can start seeing how your armors all stack up against each other, and what your bonuses are, and what you might need to tweak to make your loadouts even better. And we are still in the process of updating all the items, so if you see an item that is missing a stat or whatever, in the future, in a week or so, there will be a way to actually submit that to us. So don't worry about that. In the meantime, just post on the forum somewhere and we'll see what we can do if you have an item that we have not added all the XP to or all the stats to yet.
All right. So I hope you can fix my little issue. Oh, I didn't do much this week. RS wise, I did a bunch of C1s just because I want to get ready for the dungeoning thing. So I'm getting all my C1s done so I can do what I wanted. I did a dungeon with Burn and Pokey. So it was cool. It was fun. It was one of the first dungeons I did after EOC, and I didn't die. Like, yay! And then I didn't realize that I had a daily, what is it, a daily dungeoning
delve
challenge.
Delve into Daemonheim.
Yeah, and so I was like, ooh, that was my last day, too. I was like, it would have been over in like 3 hours. Like, ooh, okay. And so I basically got in, like, I got double XP. That's basically what I got. It's like, all right, I'm happy.
All right. Anything else?
No, that's it.
Okay. As for me this week, I did the two quests. I did some Barrows runs. That's about it on RS. Been doing a bit of coding for various things. So that's pretty much been my week.
Yeah. And I'm sure everyone now is starting to get ready for their finals. So we'll start having some ways to cheer you guys up as you study your tired little brains over that last mathematical equation, or figure out how to write that last paragraph in that giant senior term paper that you've been, you know, wrapping your head around.
All right. With that being said, we'll see you all next week. Have a good weekend, and don't forget to go boss hunting.
All right. Come on, Shane. I will grab the flame, the torch, and pitchfork.